for this morning, what you've already done and the message that we've already had. Thank you that we're in a country where it's so privileged that we can freely worship. And you've given us so much. You've given us your word. You've given us Jesus. You've given us so much. Lord, today we just pray for you to move by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a couple of other things that come to mind. First of all, it's great to have Sharon and Peter with us. Brilliant. Let's give Sharon and Peter a hand. Awesome. They've come from a long, long way away, a place called Rolleston. And thank you for being with us today. Also, on yesterday morning, there was a women's men's breakfast. No, there's a women's breakfast. And thank you, Ruth, for looking after that and your team. And I heard it went really well, so that's really cool. So bless you for that as well. You guys are looking really, really good today. You are. And one of the things that I just love doing is just connecting with you before and after the service. And you know when good things are happening when you have to turn the lights out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon just to give the indication that you do need to go now. And people have been talking together since 12:30 or something like that. It's a good indication that people are connecting. That's cool, eh? And so that's really good. And I just really want to encourage you that, you know, God's doing some really cool things in our church. And including, I've got water up front here, isn't it? Is this new, Stephen? Yeah. Awesome. Let me take a drink. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Something happened last Sunday morning. And it might not have been for everybody. Ella and I have done a lot of music together over the years now. And I've had encounters with God as well over the years. We've sung The Blessing many times previously. Sorry, I've got... Oh, I've got something on my nose. And just something happened. We were doing our normal worship, and who knows, normal worship's good. And then all of a sudden, there was a presence of God just came into the room. Who experienced that on Sunday? Yeah. And it wasn't on my run sheet. Something I planned. Steve Gwynn, good friend of ours, we were just praying. I said, I think something's going to happen this one. That was the most that we had. We didn't know. In fact, in terms of the pre-service practice in our team, we call ourselves the social netballers because we don't do much practice compared to the other great stuff that happens in the other team. And it was just like, but who loves it when God does his thing outside of our plans and purposes and outside of our world? Who knows that God is actually outside of our world? His ways are higher than ours. He's in our world as well, by the way. But his ways are higher than ours, and it's exciting. And I'm so sorry, but I was a mess. For some reason, as we were singing Amen, the deep theology of Amen, Holy Spirit was just there. And it was like, and do you know what? I was praying, going, God, could you do it again? Today? And it was a great worship, but wasn't quite the same. And do you know what? God prepared me for that as well. And said, you know, every week's going to be different. God's grace is different on every service. And it's not just about services. Wouldn't it be good if you had an encounter outside of a service with God? A couple of weeks ago, I came back from a 2 weeks in Nelson. I went to be a trainer on a course, and the course is called Caleb Leadership Training. Really, really amazing course. And pretty much the whole thing is training in management and leadership. And there's not there is some, but there's not a lot of it's a teacher focus training thing. Encounter is not really the thing. Okay, really, really good stuff. And do you know what? I came to the conclusion, and I think I said this a long time ago, like in 2015, that God uses both. He uses encounter, and he uses what I call structural discipleship. Who likes an ice cream? I love ice cream. Have you ever tried to eat an ice cream with no structure around it, like an ice cream cone, just in your hands? It's a mess, isn't it? It's like, it's horrible. I've never picked up ice cream in my own hands and gone, okay, let me eat, you know? It's a mess. And it's the same in the things of God. God wants to give us encounters and the power of the Holy Spirit, but he also wants to have structure in our lives as well. And discipleship and leadership and management, stuff like that. Same in church. We have both. When you just give over to one, it's pretty dry. Do you know what? You know, if you just eat an ice cream cone, who loves that? It's like, yeah, just air in there. But you can tell I've had a few ice creams in my day. A good ice cream with a good cone around it. A waffle cone, come on, you got structure, a little bit of sweetness in the structure, but you got that. And what's your favorite ice cream, Stephen? Hokey Pokey, definitely Hokey Pokey, most ice creams. And that's, I believe, what God wants to do in our world. He wants us to have both. And I believe we are in the days of revival. We are in the days. By the way, did somebody leave their notebook? Yeah, there we go. Sorry, this is what I do. I have different things happening while I preach. And there needs to be amazing ice cream. I really think we need lots of ice cream. I think it's really sad if you have an ice cream cone and just a little bit of, have you ever been, you know, and it's just like disappointment. We need bulk ice cream, but we need a cone as well. Yeah, apparently the best ice creams in the world is in Darfield. So we're going there after church today, as a church. Yeah. Yeah. And God wants you to have both. So there are times when we need to do structure, we need to do leadership, and we need to do the cone ministry. And then there are times when we need to be open to the most incredible moves of the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. Now, one of the things that's going through my brain a lot, and Robin segued this really well, is that particularly for our young people these days, the ice cream is what really needs to happen, with a little bit, but also with structures around as well. Can I just say, just really quickly, going back to the Caleb course, we saw amazing things happen with people at the end of the Caleb course. They had some encounters with that as well. And we need, but generally what the church has been doing is been saying to young people, you got to do this, you got to keep off the internet or the social media, don't get caught up. And it's out of a good heart. But there are a lot of young people sort of really struggling at the moment. We were young once. Do you realize I was once young? Yes, some of you are saying, you are still young. And what connected me with God was encounters, was ice cream. Seriously. Nobody ever got up and said, now it's time for you to, structure's good, don't get me wrong. But it was the encounters with God. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I went from somebody that was afraid and anxious to I wanted to go into the city square and tell people about Jesus overnight. Encounter with the Lord. And there's been all of that. And I'm praying, man, I'm praying like mad that there will be encounters for our young people. Like, so it's not about we're telling you, you're telling us. Like, God was moving powerfully amongst our rangatira, amongst our young people. Could somebody say amen to that? I might fire up. Come on, church. There is a big thing happening in our world, right in this nation. There is a battle going on. And guess what? God is doing a stealth revival in our nation. You will not see it on the news. You will not see it when Jacinda gets up and has her report every day from the cabinet. You will not hear about this, but there is a revival going on right across this country. And I'm hearing it. And it's starting off with little fires. Little fires being lit in people's lives. There is deliverances happening. There is people being, the long-term addictions in their life are being set free from that. There is encounters, there's God moments happening in people's lives right across this country. Everywhere I go and here, I'm hearing God's doing stuff. It's different. Woo! It's amazing. Don't throw out the structure, but know that God's doing some really amazing thing. And I'm really, really excited about hearing God doing stuff with our young people. It's so big on my heart. And I don't know how to get across that, but whoa, let's have amazing things happen in God. Let's have some amen. You know, when we sing amen, I think God came in on it. And remember the words we sang was for our children and our children's children? Oh, I think God's so on that. There's a breakthrough going to happen for our next generation like nothing else. And God's saying, amen, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. By the way, I'm meant to be preaching today on our mission. That's our topic that we've got at the moment. As I was praying this week, I haven't got anything about mission today, so go amen. There's nothing about mission today. Well, it kind of is if you listen to this message. Can you turn in your Bibles if you've got one, or your devices, or whatever you've got? Perhaps you've memorized the Bible, to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And go to sentence number 22. We call it sentence now because a lot of young people don't know what we're talking about. When we say verse, they think, is that a song? Oh, you do know what it means. It's 22, verse 22. And it's the story of this guy named Jacob. I love Jacob. Have we got any Jacobs here today? No Jacobs here. I love Jacob in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. I'll quickly read out the verses here, or the sentences here. Verse 22, sentence 22 says this. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons. You know he's got problems already when you just read that sentence out there. Okay? That night, two wives and two female servants. In the original language or something, it's concubine, so that they were in there as well. And his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. It's a great name, Jabbok, isn't it? Do you know what it means? It means to wrestle, or it means to be emptied out. The brook of Jabbok sounds like something from the Return of the Jedi or something. But that's what it means. And after Jacob had sent them across the stream, he sent others, he sent over all his possessions. So he sent his whole family over the brook of Jabbok and all his possessions, and he had a lot by then. He had a lot of money. In verse 24 it says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Suddenly this guy started wrestling with him. They have a wrestle time. And verse 25, when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Can you hear the intensity? I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? When the Bible talks about names, it's talking about your character. When you talk about the name of Jesus, you're talking about the character of Jesus, who he is, really his deep character. And Jacob said, Jacob! Do you know what Jacob means? Swindler, supplanter, manipulator, close to thief. What a great name. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Do you know what the word Israel means? He who struggles with God. And because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But the person he was fighting replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. And yet my life was spared. Who was God? Who was Jacob fighting? When you went to Sunday school, there was somebody, there was an answer you always gave that was 99% right.
Jesus.
Now, we don't know for sure, but we know that Jesus came to earth before he came to earth. It's the pre-incarnate Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a fiery furnace, and then somebody came in with them. And some Bible scholars say this is pre-incarnate Jesus changing somebody's life. Isn't that cool? And so here's this story. Do you know, the only thing we can do is to tenaciously pursue God. The releasing of God's revival presence, a pathway for his blessing, and the creation of personal destiny will come usually in God's time, not ours. We can try our best, and that's good, but he will come, and he'll do it in such a beautiful way, in his way, and he'll usually come when you tenaciously say, I'm going to fight a fight of faith, I'm going to pursue God, I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to go to that waterfall. I'm going to decide to fight a fight of faith. We need to fight hard to stay engaged with God. And I love the story of Jacob because Jacob was not perfect. Put your hand up, please, if you are perfect. Phew. However, some of you go, in Christ I'm perfect. And that, there is that theology as well. And I almost thought some of you would put your hand up there. And there is a truth in that as well, that in Christ we're new creations. Isn't it good? But we're having some struggles as well. And in life, I don't know about you, but I'm still working on some stuff. I'm still working on some stuff. Thank you, Lord. Three things. I just want to give you 3 points from this passage of Scripture. Number one is this: God sees your faith when you decide to tenaciously pursue and wrestle with Him. God sees it. If there's one thing I want you to do, is to start becoming a wrestler today. Okay? I hope you understand what I mean. But it's not a wrestle to fight somebody else. It's a wrestle to be in God's presence and to pursue Him and to love Him. And I want you to be a wrestler. I love wrestling. I used to have play fights with my kids. I'd always win. That's when I really loved it. Now when, you know, it's just not on the agenda. But I love, you know, if anybody wants to have a fight with me after church, come on, let's have a fight. Play fight. And let's not give up on giving God space so that you can have a wrestle. You know what I mean by that? You need to have space so you can have a wrestle. Don't give up on the ice cream cone, your daily times with God and His Word, your devotions, whatever that is. Don't give up on the deep things of God. Just don't give up. Even when you're hurt or when things are going really well. I'm reading through 2 Kings at the moment, and if you look at the kings of Israel, when they prospered, they fell. And when things went bad, they came to God. Does that make sense? That's what happens to human beings. When you're going really well, watch out. That's when God might come along to you and say, it's time for you to have some hardships because I love you so much. Pursue God if you're walking tall, if you're walking on the edge, if you're winning, if you're losing. Whatever you do, don't give up. God has an answer and He has a dream for you. He wants you to overcome. Who wants to be a fighter? Just 3 of us. Come on. I just want to have a wrestle with somebody. Come on. But actually, God wants you to fight with Him. He wants you to engage with Him. He wants you to wake up in the middle of the night and say, come on, God, let's engage. Let's have a fight. It's a good fight. I'm not going to give up on you unless you bless me. Number 2 from this is God will put long-term limits on you. He'll prune you. He'll give you a limp so you stay in His dependence and presence. You came to church to know this today, but God wants to put some limits on you and He wants to give you a limp. That's what happened to Jacob in the fight. God came along and whacked his hip. And from then on, for the rest of his life, he was limping. You might have some things in your world where you're going, I'm going to carry this for the rest of my life. But actually, sometimes it's God saying, now you can be dependent on me. Who knows about Paul's thorn in the flesh? He had this thorn in the flesh. And he said, this is where grace comes in. This is where I'm dependent on the Lord. Some of you go, I don't want to thank you, Pastor, for telling me that. So, haven't spoken much about this to my church yet, but I'm going to do it now. So, we had a conference, our national leadership conference in our movement. For 3 years I've been running as the national leader, and then we had a vote and somebody else got elected as the national leader of our movement. That was not on my plan. I can tell you, it was not on my plan. And God's working on me with that. He's really, really working on me with that. You excited? Because there were some things in my heart that I didn't know was there until God gave me a whack on the hip. That's exciting, isn't it? And all of a sudden God says, I'm going to do something new in your world. And when I was away recently, I said, God, why has this happened? That wasn't my plan. That wasn't what I wanted to have happen. In fact, I thought I was going to be doing this and this and this and this. And God said, okay, start reading the Bible. That's always good, isn't it? Start reading the Bible. So I turn and I'm reading through the Book of Kings. Who knows, if you read the Book of Kings, you're just hearing Kings stuff. Very first verse was 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32. I'll try and find it for you so I've got the right words. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32. This was for me personally, but you can see how God can speak to you. And I was going, okay, Lord, I'm just being obedient. I'll just come over to the waterfall and come into the God's word. I didn't feel like doing it. But 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32, I picked up the Bible and read these words, and God spoke to me. It says these words. It says, in those days the Lord began to reduce the size of Israel. And I thought, God, you're shrinking me. You're shrinking me. You're pruning me. I had all these plans on going and doing this, and a lot of it was external to this church. And God said, no, I'm reducing you and I'm pruning you. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to look after two houses. I want you to look after your own family house, my family, and I want you to look after this house. And it's exciting. I was not surprised that God came and did something new last Sunday morning, because when he shrinks you, power can come through that. Can I'll be really honest with you, I'm still working through it as well. There's been little things of grumpiness in me, but I know he's shrinking you. Has God shrunk you at any time? Can I just say, that's when the power comes. That's when, you're related, yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. God prunes plants and you become incredibly fruitful. Amen? God pruned Jacob. You fight with God, he's going to change you. And you might be walking around with a limp afterwards, but that's okay, because amazing things are going to happen for you. Because this last thing that happened with Jacob was there was a transformation, a lifetime transformation in his world. And that's one of the things that I really want to see happen for all of you here. And it could be small. Some of you, just God does want to do small things. It's not always big things. It can be just real small changes, small transformations. When you give your life to Jesus, that's a big transformation, isn't it? Just there. But as we grow in God, there's sometimes some biggies, and then sometimes there's just the small truths and the small transformations that can come into your world. But they can be for a lifetime. One truth can set you free, and it can be the most amazingly small truth. But long-term transformation can come out of it and do wonders in your world and around your world, because you have just accepted that one truth. and God's all over me at the moment. I just want to be a mess on the floor at the moment because he's doing transformationary work in our lives, and it's such a beautiful thing. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. There's just small things. You're going through hard times at the moment. Great! Woohoo! Bring it on! No, don't pray that prayer. But God, there'll be stuff in there that God's working on you. He's working on you, and there's going to be change in there. There'll be this truth in there that will set you free. Or it's all the other person's fault. Well, it could be. They've got their thing as well. But guess what? There's stuff happening in you. And God says, are you going to wrestle? Are you going to wrestle with me? And by the way, I'm going to do change so that your character, your name is going to be changed. Your name is going to be changed. It's going to go from swindler and deceiver and supplanter to I struggled with God and I overcame. Come on. Are you struggling with God at the moment? Well, God says, good. Come on, let's have a fight. Okay. Hope this is encouraging. What would it look like? What would it look like if you started passionately pursuing God and running to the waterfall every day? What would it look like in your world if you were open to change? Even if you're just slightly open to change, what would it look like when you say, God, I'm open to change? Sorry, somebody was trying to distract me in the back there and it worked. What would it look like if we had a church full of people open to change? So after last Sunday morning, Monday I thought, man, I think I need to have another little think about revivals that have happened in the past. And you know, I've talked about some of the stories of revivals in the past. One of my favourites still is the Azusa Street revival in 1905, I think it was, 1904. It lasted 3 years in a little street in Los Angeles, which started with, and I love this story, with William Seymour, who started to hear a guy named Parnham, who was a very respected Bible theologian, who had started to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And he was teaching a Bible college. William Seymour was not allowed to go into the Bible college because he was a black American. He was the son of a slave. And in those days, they had, and it might still be there today, they had racism, basically, outright racism. But Parnham let him listen to the theology, the Bible college, through a window. That's cool, eh? And William Seymour, he qualified that. And then there was a church in Los Angeles who needed a new pastor. The lady that was pastoring the church, which was pretty radical, a lady pastoring the church, she decided she needed to give up her job, and she called William Seymour over to Los Angeles, and it must be thousands of miles. Travels there, I think it lasted like less than a month before she didn't like his theology, and so she sacked him. Things are going good for William. Now, William has no money. He is basically destitute. He's blind in one eye. He is, all his dreams a shop, and there's only one person who's looking after him, and I forget their name, but they had a house, and he went and he stayed with him and he fed them. And then he started doing something. He started praying. He started praying 5 hours a day. When you've only got nothing, what do? You start praying for 5 hours. Some of you go, no, I don't do that. I just get into a mope area. But he started praying for 5 hours a day, and then he started holding a prayer meeting and said, no, I've got to increase my prayer time to 7 hours a day. He was coming underneath the waterfall. He was choosing to come underneath the waterfall in the midst of his hardships. And then they started holding a public prayer meeting, and people started coming to that prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit was moving in that. And they had this house with a veranda around it, and there were so many people starting to come to that public prayer meeting that they were having that the veranda collapsed. So they had to find another place. So they went up to Azusa Street and they found a box house that used to be a stable and a couple of apartments up, and it was absolutely just today the engineers would have condemned it. And they started holding meetings day and day night there because William Seymour started a prayer meeting and said, I'm not going to just let my circumstances, I'm going to contend with God, I'm going to fight with God, I'm going to come under the waterfall, I'm going to do something in the midst of stuff. I'm going to fight, I'm going to contend. Can you see the tenaciousness in him? And Holy Spirit was moving so powerfully in that time that just absolute miracles would be breaking out. Limbs that people were getting new arms. The fire department was called because they thought the place was on fire because the glory of God was on it. There was no fire at all. And today, listen to this. William Seymour, a black American who was a son of a slave, who he had one eye that wasn't working, who had no money, but decided to pray. Today, between 600 million to 900 million people today have got the expression of Pentecostal in their world. Something happens when you start fighting. When you say, this is not good enough. I'm not just gonna let things go. But where do you go? You go into prayer, you go into worship, you go into the word, you go into the ice cream, and you go into the ice cream cone, and you say, I'm gonna fight, God, for your presence. I love what Robin said this morning. And as he was talking about the waterfall, I said, Lord, can I just tell the people that there is a waterfall right across this auditorium right at the moment. There is a waterfall right across this auditorium right here in this altar. And would you like to jump in? Well, you're coming up, and it doesn't matter if you don't. I know Steve last week had you all in disarray because he said everybody come up. That was partly my fault because I said just make the whole auditorium an altar call. And so he did that. But by you choosing just for a time, would you like to come into the waterfall? Let's see what God does. Could you stand? Dash, can you jump on the keys for me? Thanks. Could you stand? Now just write down at just the end. We've just got a really holy thing happening here. So guys, you you join us as well. As some of you, you go, I'm not good enough. Some of you are going, I'm really hacked off with my life at the moment. Some of you are going, I've heard it all before. I've heard these messages all before. I've heard them. I just want to go home and have my roast. Just for a moment, just as we finish today, if you want to just, by you coming up, as you're saying, hey, I just want to come into the waterfall. Just want to come into the presence of God. I just want to be a seeker. I want to, and we're just going to pray for you. I don't care what happens to you. You might feel nothing. Yeah, you come. If you need to come, you come now. You might feel nothing. You might just be transformed. It could be micro transformations. It could be big transformations. But what I do know is this. God is saying amen to this generation of young people. He's saying amen to the children and the children's children. And if he has to kick you in the hip to make you limp so that you're now focused on the things you need to be focused, he'll do that. If he has to shorten your world, if he has to reduce your world, he'll do that. So I'm just going to open up the hall now. You be bold to come if you need to. There's a waterfall here. There's a waterfall here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is not about me. No. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. No. Please do not. The rest of you, if you just feel like you want to just come and pray for somebody, you can do that as well. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Just so. Robin, I reckon you need, and Caitlin, you guys come and pray for some people. Come into the waterfall.